I'm Alan Lubinsky. I work for AOL. I'm in finance. I support global operations.
You're poised to start on a very exciting journey. We know that from over the 400 executives who have preceded you, that the 1MBA experience is an exciting and varied one.
I think what we were trying to do in the program is to get students on an ongoing basis to confront diversity and difference.
I look at the program as being almost a laboratory for behavior.
Welcome aboard Trans America Travel. My name is Andy and I'll be your driver for the day.
All right, Andy!
I'm Janet Nakano for MBA Podcaster, and this is A Day in the Life at 1MBA's North American Residency. It's 6 o'clock Sunday evening, and it's the first night of 1MBA's North American Residency Program in Washington, D.C. This is also the first time the new class gets to meet their fellow international classmates who just arrived from all over the globe. UNC student Alan Lubinsky is Director of Budget and Finance for AOL. He says he's looking forward to the week ahead.
I really want to meet everybody, want to understand what they're all about, where they're from, who they work for, what their expectations are. I think it's going to be a nice balance. If you stay on top of the work, you could actually enjoy it.
The agenda for the week is jam-packed with courses, guest speakers, and activities. Peter Bruce is Associate Dean of the 1MBA program at UNC Kenan Flagler Business School. At tonight's opening dinner, he explains what's to come.
You're poised to start on a very exciting journey. We know that from over the 400 executives who have preceded you, that the 1MBA experience is an exciting and varied one. We also believe that the program that you have joined is the best available in the world today when it comes to preparing you for the rigors of global management. First, I will try to provide you some information on the class and the colleagues that you are here with this evening. It is a well-known fact in most MBA programs that the quality of your peer group is one of the most important things that make up the quality of an MBA program. As far as we can tell, about 19 nations are represented in this room. We also reckon that greater than 80% of you have significant international experience. Perhaps most impressive in your class is the range of industries and companies represented. Many well-known global names are here in this room. Alcoa, Nike, Cemex, ING Bank, AOL, Cisco, Accenture, Coca-Cola, FEMSA, and Johnson & Johnson are perhaps among the names you would all recognize. Starting out with our discussions this week, you will discover we live in a world of amazing promise, but we also face immense challenge. And possibly the most intractable issue facing us globally at the philosophical level is how to lessen the inequality and imbalances in life chances across the globe. Along similar lines, you will be over the next 21 months exposed to many models of capitalism that now operate around the world. Thirdly, the question that I would ask you to think about is the issue centered around sustainability and global warming. And then the final story that I would want you to have a look at, and notwithstanding the importance of the first three questions that I have asked you, the last question will be, well, given the different models of capitalism, given the imbalances between the rich and the poor, given global warming, how on earth do I as an individual and how on earth do the companies that I work for remain globally competitive in the world of 21st century capitalism?
The next morning begins bright and early, breakfast at 7 a.m. Nicolas Gutierrez is director of 1MBA at IGADE in Mexico.
Good morning, everyone. As we always say at the Latin Week, this is not going to be Brazilian time, no Mexican time, but just on time. So please be in that time. Well, on behalf of the Executive Committee, I welcome you, and I also... As you can see, now you are with the new global teams. Lucky of you, you are going to be with these people working for the next 6 months.
Peter Bruce.
I want you to think of every residency as a marathon. It's not a sprint. In other words, my advice to you is don't arrive here and run like heck for the first 2 days and collapse by Wednesday. We have seen people do that.
After a quick rundown of the week's events, the students take a class photo.
On three, ready? One, two, three. And again, on three, one, two, three. Thank you.
Thank you.
Then they have to head off to their first class by 8:15. Alan gets a little help along the way.
Okay, what team are you on?
No, three.
Team three. You will go to Fitzgerald Room C.
Okay.
With Mabel Miguel.
Oh, nice. I will definitely be awake.
Yes. So, I'll be teaching today, and my main focus is understanding each other's cultural values a little bit better and how they might show up in a team setting. So that's what we do today. Tomorrow, Dr. Arvin...
Alan has three back-to-back classes, so we'll catch up with him later in the day. One MBA is a global executive MBA program that partners with five schools: UNC Kenan Flagler Business School, FGV in Brazil, EGADE in Monterrey, Mexico, RSM Erasmus in the Netherlands, and the Chinese University of Hong Kong. Mike Page is Associate Dean of Academic Affairs at RSM and is one of the founders of One MBA.
I think what we were trying to do in the program is to get students on an ongoing basis to confront diversity and difference. So a lot of programs that pride themselves justifiably in having a very diverse student body, but they tend to bring that student body home to their home institution. You work with them maybe on a full-time program, maybe on an executive program, but in a sense you are living and working in your domestic market. You then may go on an international trip to try and add richness to it. The difference with this program is that you are studying in that global environment. You're working with team members that are far-flung, that are currently working in China, working in Latin America, working in the US, working in Europe, and you're confronting the challenges of business in those regions of the world and trying to make sense of it during the program.
The One MBA curriculum is divided into three categories. Core courses are taught simultaneously at each of the partner schools, which require global teams to work together on assignments. There are regional courses. Then there are four global residencies, one in North America, Latin America, Europe, and Asia. Associate Dean Peter Bruce.
In each of the regions that we visited, at the very least, we wanted them to see, if possible, a developed and a developing country context to compare and contrast. So what we do when we go to Europe, for example, is we spend some time in Holland and up until recently time in Poland. There is a chance we'll be going to Turkey, which is the developing side, and you get that developing. When you come to the Americas, we spend a week here in North America, and that's when you get the developed context, and then we go and spend a week in Latin America, and that's the developing context. And in Asia, of course, we spend time in mainland China, which is really developing. And the theory behind this whole story is once you've seen six or seven developing country contexts, you've got a reasonable idea of the range and the variety of business practices that you are likely to encounter as a global manager. We are not training anybody to do business in any one particular country. We could basically take a whole course to basically do that. The idea is for them to get a sense of the global variety, the global differences, and what a global manager must be aware of when they go into any of the societies that we are currently playing with in the world economy. And then, of course, they can build off that knowledge to deepen their knowledge in the specific countries that they go to. We don't train. We're not doing business in dot, dot, dot. We are really about the global integration, building a global culture, building a global understanding of what the world is about.
It's about 1 in the afternoon, and the students have made it through their first day of classes. Alan says so far so good.
I think this is the absolute right program for me. Not just because of the team environment, but the professors are fantastic, and we're learning about something that's important to me, and it should be important to any professional today, whether they are thinking of doing business internationally or not, because we are really, really one big world.
After lunch, the students join a talk by CEO of Gifts of Kind International, Richard Wong.
Today I want to talk about responsible capitalism because of globalization of workforce and production.
And at 4:15, the students board a bus to the Fairfax Sportsplex.
I like to call it one.
Good afternoon, welcome aboard Trans America Travel. My name is Andy and I'll be your driver for the day.
All right, Andy!
Not to study, but to play a friendly game of soccer. Sylvia Fundervoord is a 1 MBA student from RSM. She heads operations for an asset manager in the Netherlands and says she hoped the MBA would broaden her knowledge of managing global operations.
And I've been looking for an MBA, and there are actually only 3 choices in the Netherlands. And almost everybody looks at all the 3 choices, and I like the 1 MBA the best. For 2 reasons. Of course, the international aspect, and second, the profile, because I think in an interactive study you need to have experienced peers to learn a lot. And the 1 MBA has an average of 36 years of age and 12 to 13 years of working experience. That was really what I was looking for.
For the rest of the week, students continue to get acquainted with their global counterparts. They attend classes and manage to squeeze in a few more fun activities. Each of the residencies is hosted by the Regional 1 MBA Partner School and is centered on themes specific to that area of the world. The program begins here with the North American residency, says Peter Bruce.
When we come to the United States, it's the opening week, so we spend some time talking about globalization and give them a model of the global economy. We also give them input onto global teaming and operating what we describe as far-flung teams. Then we focus on US IT and basically the internet revolution, the use of technology to organize business, the whole changing nature of organization as a consequence of the internet, which we have really pioneered in this country, is part of our focus here. The other part of our focus in the United States is entrepreneurship, because the U.S. is probably still the exemplar place when it comes to entrepreneurship, though, of course, there are other places that are now catching up. What we also prepare them for early on here in this particular module is the issues around the bottom of the pyramid.
The second residency takes students to Europe. RSM's Mike Page.
I think the issue for us in Europe, and we've transitioned a little bit because, of course, we've got to keep current, is we've always looked at, I think for a period of time, we look quite closely at sustainable supply chain. Obviously, our location in Rotterdam is one of the, if not the major gateway to Europe, is part of that. We also were taking the students to Gdansk in Poland, a 1,010-year-old city that, of course, in a north-south sense, was a gateway to Europe in its day, coming into the EU. So it was really looking at how do regions of the world and in Europe, how do we see sustainability, how do we see engagement, and how do we see the supply chain of business processes. I think what we're going to be doing with this particular class that's just started is we will again look at sustainability issues, but given that Poland is now in the EU, we are probably going to be taking the group to Turkey. So we will spend time in Rotterdam and we'll go across to Turkey or vice versa and again look at how Europe's evolving, what are the challenges it faces. So at a macro level, how is Europe going to be sustainable? And then, of course, at a micro level, how do individual firms compete within the region and globally?
It's Friday evening, and the 1 MBA students are on the home stretch of their very first residency. The closing reception and dinner are being held here at the Ronald Reagan Building in downtown Washington. 2004 alumnus Charles Peckham says what he enjoyed most about the program was his time with the international students.
I look at the program as being almost a laboratory for behavior. You can practice international skills, and because you've built the trust with your fellow students, they can tell you whether or not what you're doing makes sense, whether or not it's culturally acceptable, and they can help correct you in a friendly, supportive environment to say, no, you can't do that. You need to be able to ask the question this way, and get a much more tangible answer. And I've applied that directly in some of the business I've been doing in Singapore, in Malaysia, in Delhi, in other countries.
What were you doing before you got into the program?
Before I entered the 1MBA program, I was an engineer, pre-sales engineer in telecommunications. After the MBA program, I moved into business development.
Tonight's keynote speaker is Professor James Johnson, Director of Urban Investment at UNC.
The first cohort of baby boomers turned 60 last year. What's going to happen in the next 4 or 5 years? We're going to see this heck of an exodus from our labor market, unlike anything that you've ever witnessed before.
Then the students enjoy a night tour of the city's monuments before heading back to the hotel.
Okay, we're going down Pennsylvania Avenue, the Avenue of the Presidents. The presidents, when they get inaugurated, they take the same street, but they're going the opposite way from the Capitol to the White House back there. Folks, look on the right-hand side, there's Benjamin Franklin.
In the second year of the program, the students will head to Latin America for their third residency. One leg will be in Mexico and the other in Brazil. Stavros Santopoulos is a professor at FGV and is associate dean of 1MBA.
Basically, we try to show people a bit of marketing of how Brazilian brands go international. Obviously, we speak about Brazilian economy, Brazilian financial systems. We do go on some technical visits, and normally we go to companies like Embraer, who is a big global player in the aerospace industry, for the students to see how our companies compete globally and to try and understand what are the vectors that lead our companies to be global players. One of the interesting issues that we have actually introduced from last year onwards is typically the bottom pyramid consuming population. So we bring in examples of how some supermarket companies or some consumer good companies have approached that. So we bring in speakers to tell us about that also. Yeah, one of the highlights is a place called Meninos do Brasil, which would be like the boys from Brazil, which is a project that was set up for people who live in slums to have the opportunity of developing their social relationship, education, respect for life, etc., through music.
The fourth and final residency will be in Asia. Again, Peter Bruce.
In Asia, we kind of build up the idea of adapting to a global world. And the theme in Asia is how the Asians have adapted and have globalized using the global economy as the impetus point. And what's discussed there is the fundamental partnership at the moment between the Chinese and the Americans. And it's a very simple partnership. The Chinese are manufacturing just about everything that we consume here, and we are importing it, and they are taking the money that we pay for those imports and lending it back to us to keep the model going. And we talk about that as a theme of globalization and the positives and, to some degree, the negatives too. Also, when we get to China, I suspect there will be more noise this time, the next time we go, with regard to the environmental story, so to some degree sustainability will come up there. There's also a chance that we may spend some time in India in one of the future residencies, and there we will be comparing and contrasting authoritarian developmentalism, which is the Chinese model, from democracy, which is the Indian model.
With the global teams where the Dutch team members have organized trips to very interesting parts of the Netherlands.
It's Saturday, and following two morning lectures, it's time for the students to check out of their hotel rooms and prepare for their journey home. Alan Lubinsky says it's been an exhausting week, but he's already looking forward to seeing his global classmates again.
I love the way it's structured. I love the fact that none of us are competing. It's been a week and a half, and I felt like I've known these people half of my life already. I'm hoping that I'm going to be well-rounded in business, and I'm hoping I'm going to be more knowledgeable about the world. I believe both of those will come through. I'm also hoping to develop relationships with these folks. I would love, absolutely love, to start companies with these people or work together down the road. So I'm hoping to really understand what everyone else does, what their positives are, how we use that as an asset, and truly put something together. I love the fact that some of our classes are actually taking us that way, as far as here's how you start a company with venture money, here's what you do. And it's really refreshing how willing the professors are to look at a business plan, point you in the right direction. They're truly here to help us, and it comes off that way.
Thank you so much for your time. Let's go and have lunch. Please travel safely. Please be careful, and I look forward to seeing all of you in Rotterdam and some of you in Lansdowne.
For MBA Podcaster, I'm Janet Nakano in Washington, D.C.